Chapter 9. Yes, mother. Apostrophe, does it snow? Apostrophe, apostrophe, snow, mother. And we only yet in September? Apostrophe, all seasons are alike to me. Apostrophe, she returned, with a grim kind of luxuriousness. I know nothing of summer and winter. Shut up here. The Lord has been pleased to put me beyond all that. Apostrophe, with her cold gray eyes and her cold gray hair, and her immovable face, as stiff as the folds of her stony headdress, her being beyond the reach of the season seemed but a fit sequence to her being beyond the reach of all changing emotions. On her little table lay two or three books, her handkerchief, a pair of steel spectacles newly taken off, and an old-fashioned gold watch in a heavy double case. Upon this last object her son's eyes and her own now rested together. I see that you received the packet I sent you on my father's death, safely, mother. Apostrophe, you see. Apostrophe, I never knew my father to show so much anxiety on any subject as that his watch should be sent straight to you. Apostrophe, I keep it here as a remembrance of your father. Apostrophe, it was not until the last that he expressed the wish, when he could only put his hand upon it and very indistinctly say to me, your mother. A moment before, I thought him wandering in his mind, as he had been for many hours. I think he had no consciousness of pain in his short illness, when I saw him turn himself in his bed and try to open it. Apostrophe, was your father, then, not wandering in his mind, when he tried to open it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no. He was quite sensible at that time. Apostrophe, Mrs. Clennam shook her head, whether in dismissal of the deceased, or opposing herself to her son's opinion, was not clearly expressed. After my father's death I opened it myself, thinking there might be, for anything I knew, some memorandum there. However, as I need not tell you, mother, there was nothing but the old silk watch paper worked in beads, which you found, no doubt, in its place between the cases, where I found and left it. Apostrophe, Mrs. Clennam signified assent, then added, no more of business on this day, apostrophe, and then added, Affery, it is 9 o'clock. Apostrophe, upon this, the old woman cleared the little table, went out of the room, and quickly returned with a tray on which was a dish of little rusks, and a small precise pat of butter, cool, symmetrical, white, and plump. The old man, who had been standing by the door in one attitude during the whole interview, looking at the mother upstairs as he had looked at the son downstairs, went out at the same time, and, after a longer absence, returned with another tray on which was the greater part of a bottle of port wine, which, to judge by his panting, he had brought from the cellar, a lemon, a sugar basin, and a spice box. With these materials and the aid of the kettle, he filled a tumbler with a hot and odorous mixture, measured out and compounded with as much nicety as a physician's prescription. Into this mixture Mrs. Clennam dipped certain of the rusks, and ate them, while the old woman buttered certain other of the rusks, which were to be eaten alone. When the invalid had eaten all the rusks and drunk all the mixture, the two trays were removed, and the books and the candle, watch, handkerchief, and spectacles were placed upon the table. She then put on the spectacles, and read certain passages aloud from a book sternly, fiercely, wrathfully, praying that her enemies, she made them by her tone and manner expressly hers, might be put to the edge of the sword, consumed by fire, smitten by plagues and leprosy, that their bones might be ground to dust, and that they might be utterly exterminated. As she read on, years seemed to fall away from her son like the imaginings of a dream, and all the old dark horrors of his usual preparation for the sleep of an innocent child to overshadow him. She shut the book and remained for a little time with her face shaded by her hand. So did the old man, otherwise still unchanged in attitude. So, probably, did the old woman in her dimmer part of the room. Then the sick woman was ready for bed. Good night, Arthur. Affery will see to your accommodation. Only touch me, for my hand is tender. Apostrophe, he touched the worsted muffling of her hand that was nothing, If his mother had been sheathed in brass, there would have been no new barrier between them, and followed the old man and woman downstairs. The latter asked him, when they were alone together among the heavy shadows of the dining room, would he have some supper? No, Afery, no supper. Apostrophe, you shall if you like, apostrophe, said Afery. There's her tomorrow's partridge in the larder, her first this year. Say the word and I'll cook it. Apostrophe, no, he had not long dined, and could eat nothing. Have something to drink then, apostrophe, said Afery. You shall have some of her bottle of port, if you like. I'll tell Jeremiah that you ordered me to bring it you. Apostrophe, no, nor would he have that either. It's no reason, Arthur, apostrophe, said the old woman, bending over him to whisper, that because I am afeard of my life of him, you should be. You've got half the property, haven't you? Apostrophe, yes, yes. Apostrophe, well then, don't you be cowed. You're clever, Arthur, and you? Apostrophe, he nodded, as she seemed to expect an answer in the affirmative. Then stand up against them. She's awful clever, and none but a clever one durst say a word to her. He's a clever one, oh, he's a clever one. And he gives it her, when he has a mind taught, he does. Apostrophe, your husband does? Apostrophe, apostrophe, does? It makes me shake from head to foot, to hear him give it her. My husband, Jeremiah Flintwinch, can conquer even your mother. What can he be but a clever one to do that? Apostrophe, his shuffling footstep coming towards them caused her to retreat to the other end of the room. Though a tall, hard-favored, sinewy old woman, who in her youth might have enlisted in the foot guards without much fear of discovery, she collapsed before the little keen-eyed crab-like old man. Now, Afery, apostrophe, said he, now, woman, what are you doing? Can't you find Master Arthur something or another to pick at? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Master Arthur repeated his recent refusal to pick at anything. Very well, then, apostrophe, said the old man, make his bed. Stir yourself. Apostrophe, his neck was so twisted that the knotted ends of his white cravat usually dangled under one ear. His natural acerbity and energy, always contending with a second nature of habitual repression, gave his features a swollen and suffused look, and altogether, he had a weird appearance of having hanged himself at one time or other, and of having gone about ever since, halter and all, exactly as some timely hand had cut him down. You'll have bitter words together tomorrow, Arthur, you and your mother, apostrophe, said Jeremiah. You're having given up the business on your father's death which she suspects, though we have left it to you to tell her won't go off smoothly. Apostrophe, I have given up everything in life for the business, and the time came for me to give up that. Apostrophe, good. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Jeremiah, evidently meaning bad. Very good. Only don't expect me to stand between your mother and you, Arthur. I stood between your mother and your father, fending off this, and fending off that, and getting crushed and pounded betwixt them, and I've done with such work. Apostrophe, you will never be asked to begin it again for me, Jeremiah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, good. I'm glad to hear it, because I should have had to decline it, if I had been. That's enough as your mother says, and more than enough of such matters on a Sabbath night. Afery, woman, have you found what you want yet? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she had been collecting sheets and blankets from a press, and hastened to gather them up, and to reply, yes, Jeremiah. Apostrophe, Arthur Clennam helped her, by carrying the load himself, wished the old man good night, and went upstairs with her to the top of the house. They mounted up and up, through the moldy smell of an old close house, little used, to a large garret bedroom. Meager and spare, like all the other rooms, it was even uglier and grimmer than the rest, by being the place of banishment for the worn-out furniture. Its movables were ugly old chairs with worn-out seats, and ugly old chairs without any seats, a threadbare patternless carpet, a maimed table, a crippled wardrobe, a lean set of fire irons like the skeleton of a set deceased, a washing stand that looked as if it had stood for ages in a hail of dirty soapsuits, and a bedstead with four bare atomies of posts, each terminating in a spike, as if for the dismal accommodation of lodgers who might prefer to impale themselves. Arthur opened the long low window, and looked out upon the old blasted and blackened forest of chimneys, and the old red glare in the sky, which had seemed to him once upon a time, but a nightly reflection of the fiery environment, that was presented to his childish fancy in all directions, let it look where it would. He drew in his head again, sat down at the bedside, and looked on at Affery Flintwinch making the bed. Affery, you were not married when I went away. Apostrophe, she screwed her mouth into the form of saying no, apostrophe shook her head, and proceeded to get a pillow into its case. How did it happen? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, Jeremiah, oh course, apostrophe said Affery, with an end of the pillow case between her teeth. Of course he proposed it, but how did it all come about? I should have thought that neither of you would have married. Least of all should I have thought of your marrying each other. Apostrophe, no more should I, apostrophe said Mrs. Flintwinch, tying the pillow tightly in its case. That's what I mean. When did you begin to think otherwise? Apostrophe, never begun to think otherwise at all, apostrophe said Mrs. Flintwinch. Seeing, as she patted the pillow into its place on the bolster, that he was still looking at her, as if waiting for the rest of her reply, she gave it a great poke in the middle, and asked, how could I help myself? Apostrophe, apostrophe, how could you help yourself from being married? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh course, apostrophe said Mrs. Flintwinch. It was no doing of mine. I'd never thought of it. I'd got something to do, without thinking, indeed. She kept me to it as well as he, when she could go about, and she could go about then. Apostrophe well? Apostrophe apostrophe well? Apostrophe apostrophe echoed Mrs. Flintwinch. That's what I said myself. Well, what's the use of considering? If them two clever ones have made up their minds to it, what's left for me to do? Nothing. Apostrophe, was it my mother's project then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the Lord bless you, Arthur, and forgive me the wish. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Affery, speaking always in a low tone. If they hadn't been both of a mind in it, how could it ever have been? Jeremiah never courted me, tan't likely that he would, after living in the house with me, and ordering me about for as many years as he'd done. He said to me one day, he said, Affery, he said, now I am going to tell you something. What do you think of the name of Flintwinch? What do I think of it? I says, yes, he said, because you're going to take it, he said. Take it? I says, Jeremiah? Oh, he's a clever one. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Flintwinch went on to spread the upper sheet over the bed, and the blanket over that, and the counterpane over that, as if she had quite concluded her story. Well? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Arthur again. Well? Apostrophe, apostrophe, echoed Mrs. Flintwinch again. How could I help myself? He said to me, Affery, you and me must be married, and I'll tell you why. She's failing in health, and she'll want pretty constant attendance up in her room, and we shall have to be much with her, and there'll be nobody about now but ourselves, when we're away from her, and altogether it will be more convenient. She's of my opinion, he said, so if you'll put your bonnet on next Monday morning at 8, we'll get it over. Apostrophe Mrs. Flintwinch tucked up the bed. Well? Apostrophe apostrophe, well? Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated Mrs. Flintwinch, I think so. I sits me down and says it. Well, Jeremiah then says to me, as two bands, next Sunday being the third time of asking, for I've put him up a fortnight, is my reason for naming Monday. She'll speak to you about it herself, and now she'll find you prepared, Affery. That same day she spoke to me, and she said, so, Afri, I understand that you and Jeremiah are going to be married. I am glad of it, and so are you, with reason. It is a very good thing for you, and very welcome under the circumstances to me. He is a sensible man, and a trustworthy man, and a persevering man, and a pious man. What could I say when it had come to that? Why, if it had been a smothering instead of a wedding, apostrophe Mrs. Flintwinch cast about in her mind with great pains for this form of expression, I couldn't have said a word upon it, against them two clever ones. Apostrophe, in good faith, I believe so. Apostrophe, and so you may, Arthur. Apostrophe, Afri, what girl was that in my mother's room just now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, girl? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Flintwinch in a rather sharp key. It was a girl, surely, whom I saw near you almost hidden in the dark corner. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh. She? Little Dorrit? She's nothing, she's a whim of hers. Apostrophe, it was a peculiarity of Afri Flintwinch, that she never spoke of Mrs. Clennam by name. But there's another sort of girls than that about. Have you forgot your old sweetheart? Long and long ago, I'll be bound. Apostrophe, I suffered enough from my mother's separating us, to remember her. I recollect her very well. Apostrophe, have you got another? Apostrophe, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.